Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Accepting yourself just as you are. With this body, with this appearance, these behaviors, these life circumstances, one of the most reassuring lines from the Zen tradition was written by Zen Master Dogen. And it goes like this: to be in harmony with the oneness of things is to be without anxiety about imperfection. Now, I love this teaching because it assumes imperfection. It assumes that these bodies and minds will be reactive, that we'll grasp and get attached, and that we'll be angry at times and fearful, and that we'll even hurt the beings that we love the most out of our fear and our confusion. It assumes imperfection and says what matters is, how do we relate to that? But when we feel deficient, and when we're aware of that deficiency, there's a real sense of shame, and that shame ties us up in knots. Gives rise to the most profound sense of self-aversion. And what this means is that for awakening beings of our time, people on the spiritual path, that paying attention to shame, paying attention to self-aversion, is a necessary gateway for awakening. It's not something to get rid of. Rather, the way we pay attention to self-aversion is actually the ground of the path. Not to be numb or uncaring, just simply without anxiety, accepting yourself just as you are.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. That was Tara Brach on Monique Rhodes' Heartfelt album. Well, what did you think about that? Accepting yourself exactly as the way you are. Maybe one of our biggest, most important assignment for our lives is to be able to accept that we are okay and that we are enough. But anyway, I'm so glad that you could join us today on America Meditating Radio. It's always my privilege to be your host. Sister Gita is on travel, and we're looking forward to having her back soon. And I hope that the holidays and everything was great for you. I'm looking forward to hearing some of your feedback. What were some of your realizations? What were some of your takeaways? And what are things that you know for sure you're not going to do in 2019? I cannot believe it's 2019. I'm just floored. It just doesn't make any sense anymore. There's actually no such thing as time. We're actually just living our lives one day at a time, one moment at a time, one person at a time. But even deeper than that and more subtle than that, one thought at a time. One thought at a time. And we've gone through a lot, especially in the last 2 years. Crisis after crisis after crisis after crisis. It's sometimes you can't even remember what happened last week because the crisis and the next day is so overwhelming that you can't even fathom that, you know, oh my God, this is going on now. And so we can try to go back and point fingers about, oh, this and they did this and they did that and they did a whole bunch of stuff. But what do we do? Is this actually a call for all of us to step inwards and to find the real me, the real self that's supposed to be speaking and thinking and making choices and cutting deals or just, you know, having leisure? Who are we, folks? Who are we? Is all of this intensity and stuff that we're going through forcing us to come to the conclusion that we really are all God's children? And if you and I are all God's children, then our choices and our actions would reveal that, because it will definitely be a lot more kindness, a lot more care, a lot more acceptance, knowing that we're all playing out our stories, and give us time, we're going to get there. Well, let's go to our next guest, Bridget Jackson Buckley, who's the author of The Gift of Crisis. It's a memoir which chronicles her story of identifying the underlying purpose of ongoing financial crisis and the meditation practice, which actually helped her to overcome the crisis. See, Bridget was the lead writer to launch Oprah Winfrey's Network's Super Soul Sunday website and the 21-day Become What You Believe meditation and 7 days to Restful Sleep for Oprah and Deepak's Guide to Whole Health. How lovely. And in addition to various articles for Super Soul Sessions 1 to 3. Bridget enjoys working with individuals and organizations who are interested in conscious change, conscious business practices, and conscious leadership. She currently lives in Los Angeles, where she continues to write about spirituality and personal growth and works as a writer, author, and even a ghostwriter. Today it's my privilege to welcome Bridget Jackson Buckley. Happy New Year, my dear sister.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you as well. Thank you.
You know, one of the things that I'm grappling with, Bridget, is why is it that we have to go into the mode of crisis to begin to think deeply about who we are? What gives?
Well, sometimes it seems like so many of us learn through painful situations. Like we may have been ignoring some of the smaller signs, some of the smaller symptoms along the way until the situation fully explodes into a crisis situation. Sometimes we just need that bigger message to really grab our attention, you know, before we really focus on something. Some people tend to learn their situations by just going along and something is a bit more calm, while others seem to need a bigger jolt, as I did.
Mm-hmm. But we'll get to that in a minute, because one of the things that our producers have come to know about you is your ability to convey really complex spiritual concepts in a practical and accessible style. Can you tell us a little bit about what has been your inspiration and interest in writing about deeper spiritual things, and how come you became a translator of what would be the invisible to make those who are living a very visible life understand?
Well, as far as writing, I've always had an interest in writing. I've kept journals since I was in the fourth grade. I was on the high school newspaper. I've always really liked to write, but I moved away from it once I went into college. So it really was a coming back to something that I love. And during the period that we went through these prolonged crisis situations, writing never stopped calling to me. It was always there. I always had this thought, if you will, that would come into my awareness and just very subtly suggest, you should write. But I really wasn't in the right state of mind at that time, and I just kind of ignored it and pushed it away until it just got to the point where I could no longer ignore it. So I've always had a love of writing, and equally a love of writing, I have a love of reading. I read quite a bit. And during that time, because we had minimal financial resources, I spent mm-hmm. a lot of my time going to the library and reading a lot of books about self-help, personal growth, psychology, spirituality. And I noticed a common theme in many of the books, and it was the benefits of going within, meditation, prayer, and how that can be incredibly helpful during difficult times. And at that time, I was also, occasionally attending a spiritual center. I could only go so much because our little one didn't like to stay in the childcare room, and he was too little to sit in the sanctuary with me, too squirrely. So it was at that time during the crisis that I really started to go within and meditate and really quiet myself. And after a sustained period of time, I had the thought, maybe I can pose a question during the meditative state and see what floats into my awareness, what comes up, and that's pretty much how that began.
Beautiful. You know, the questions are so important, Bridget, because sometimes we're scared to ask the questions because we know we're going to need to respond, especially honestly, to the question. Now, the subtitle of your new book, The Gift of Crisis, is How I Used Meditation to Go from Financial Failure to a Life of Purpose. What were some of the challenges that you experienced? And, you know, you said you went into silence and it was over a long period of time and you started to raise that question. But what was it that, came up for you that says, oh, I think I got the answer? How did it work? Because a lot of people want to know how meditation works, when I just think it's about being honest with yourself. That's meditation. But, for those of us who still need concepts to help us through the invisible, how would you answer that?
Okay, so let me touch on the questions portion of that. The questions, as you bring up, they are so colossally important, because you can ask questions that continually reaffirm your state of being a victim of your circumstances. Like, why is this happening to me? Questions that reaffirm, oh, the poor me, something is happening to me. This is beyond my control. And that is the level of the response that you will get, because that's the level of your questioning. So as I continue to go more within and continue the reading, I began to understand the questions that you ask are so important, because you're asking questions. You want to ask questions that do help you to become more honest with yourself. And you have to ask very deep, penetrating questions. What am I bringing to this situation? Where is my energy in this situation? Am I responding to this person this way because I want to be hurtful and vindictive? Am I responding this way because I want to be loving? So you really do have to be very, very honest about the intentions. Or am I asking questions because I'm trying to get something? Or am I trying to become clearer on what's happening here? So at the root of my questions and the meditation, I fully agree with you. It was an attempt to be very clear and very, very honest with myself. And to be honest now, some of the things that I saw about myself were not very pretty. you know, not very, very loving. I had a lot of fear, you know, and shame that would come up in some of the behaviors that I participated in, desperate behaviors during this time. They were not something that we always want to really see about ourselves. Like, it's very easy to push those parts of ourselves down and hope that they will stay there, but they don't stay there. They come up in those crisis situations. So as far as the title of the book, it did take me a little while to see that the crisis truly revealed so many gifts. But at the time that I was going through it, it was hard to see that, because I did have a period of time where I really looked at myself as the victim. But slowly, slowly, as I continued to meditate, I began to notice how much my mind enjoyed creating problems. And how, you know, it seemed like as soon as I had clarity on something, like a few
something
minutes later, you know, and we really want the mind to be our ally, because the mind is so powerful.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. About a month or two ago, I started to ask this question about how do I remove the hurt from the heart? Because I ended up sitting with staff, and we were talking about the racial divide in the country and what's happening with white America, what's happening with black America, what can we do at a community level to really build this, to harmonize these two. And it took us to even my personal experience. When I ended up in a place where there was authority, I was of a different race, different background, and I wasn't accepted. And I was definitely marginalized, and I was definitely pushed aside unless I played at their tune. And I remembered how painful that was. But I also remembered God whispering and say, there's a better version of you too waiting. Don't worry. And here I am, like 30 years later, and this story comes back up as if it was yesterday. And then I started to ask, Jen, I don't need an apology from them. It's like, Om Shanti, hallelujah, that's done. But how do I get the hurt out of the heart? Any answers you have for that question?
Well, I would say one of the most important aspects here is that you're simply asking the question. And that signifies that there is enough awareness in within you that is ready for movement, ready for expansion, and ready for change. And, of course, we all know that asking the questions is not an outer experience or an outer answer that we're looking for. It all initiates within. And then I would have to also say that, of course, so much of the suffering in our world has at its root prejudice and hatred and our own unexamined fears and emotions within ourselves. And what we have to first really look at is how these unresolved issues of fear, anger, resentment, whatever it is operating within ourselves, and how that translates to an outer experience. Because, again, it's not something that someone is doing to us. They could be mirroring something back to us that we press within ourselves and feel within ourselves. And then we also react from that level if we're unaware of how it's operating on a subconscious level in our lives. So the way that, of course, meditation, prayer, quieting the mind, being an examiner of your true self and knowing what is the self will help us understand what is going on inside of us and how we can bring that understanding of what's happening in ourselves to the interactions we have in our outer world, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It does. You know, author Penny Pierce, who has been a guest on the America Meditating Radio, noted that you used many creative perceptual methods to create your life, to include more flow and synchronicity by changing perception and frequency.
Absolutely.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Well, as far as that, I completely agree with that, because so much of my experiences were perceiving our situation as we don't have enough, we won't have enough, we are not going to be able to rise to the occasion, there's going to be a problem and we're not going to be able to solve it. So much of my perception for a period of time was clouded in fear, and it was if you're looking at situations clouded in fear, colored by fear, it's impossible, you know, to see anything else, to see any solutions, to see any possibilities that may be bigger than what the small mind or small self can perceive. So it was through the quieting my mind that I was able to let a lot of the fear begin to fall away so that I can have an expansion mm-hmm. of my consciousness and awareness of what is true, what is true of the self, what is truly the core self. And from that, I stopped perceiving situations as a threat and as a problem, mm-hmm. something attacking me, something trying to hurt me. And now I look at them from more of a place of curiosity. Well, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Of course, being a human being in the world, I do still like to know sometimes how things will turn out. But I have an awareness that I don't need to know every little detail. I don't need to know it thinking that I need to control it or try to manipulate the outcome. I absolutely know that situations are working out for the highest good of everyone involved. And I may think mm-hmm. I know what I want it to be, but sometimes I just need to let it unfold and be pleasantly surprised when it works out in a way that I could have never possibly orchestrated. That's how I know that grace is involved, that the presence of God is in and of all things. I've seen it so many times when I just relax around a situation or an outcome or an event and just let it show me what it needs to be or what it wants to be. Of course, within that, mm-hmm. I can continue to take inspired action and follow my sure. intuition, but not feel like I need to manipulate the outcome like I used to.
Now, Bridget, can I tell you, talking with you, you seem centered, stable, mm-hmm. very empowered, very clear. Isn't that wonderful? It's like you feel like you're all together, right? And you're poised. I mean, where are you inside now? I mean, you've gone through crisis, you've gone through financial insecurity, writing is definitely a call for you, and I'm sure creativity mm-hmm. is a call for you. When you look at yourself today, how does Bridget feel about who she has become at this point?
When I was attending there's so many things I want to say. When I was attending the spiritual center, I once sat in the sanctuary and I was listening to someone on stage speak, and the person said that you will get to a point in your life within your spiritual practice where you will be grateful for absolutely every single thing that has happened in your life. And years ago, I sat at the back of that sanctuary and thought, oh my gosh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. She doesn't know what I'm going through. Her life is perfect. How could she know? And now years later, I completely understand that. And the reason why, as difficult as the situation was, and would I want to go through it again? No. But I don't have any regrets of it. I wouldn't change anything because it has thoroughly and beautifully contributed to the person that I have become and continue to become, because there is no way that I could be as compassionate as I now try to be, want to be, without having gone through what we went through. I would still be so judgmental. And now, like I said, I can look at someone or a situation and understand that I don't know what lesson their soul is here to experience. I don't know what experience they need to have. So I don't need to project my thoughts about what they should be doing, how they should be behaving, because I don't know what it is that they're doing. Now, of course, being a human being and alive in the world in this third dimension, the third dimension is very fear-based. It is very easy to be pulled back into those moments of doubt and uncertainty where you're just like, oh my gosh, it's just all going to hell. Like, what else can we do? But I will say, as a result of having a consistent practice that keeps you centered with the presence, you don't linger in those states as long as you may have at another time. Because years ago, I may have been down for like weeks, depressed, just worried. And now I may have a moment where I'm like, oh, you know, I kind of wanted this, but it might be like a few minutes or like an hour or something, and then I can quickly bounce back to my center and not be so attached to what I wanted that outcome to be. So that helps me to stay centered. I do have my moments where I kind of drift in and out, but I come back in relatively quickly.
That's good to know. It's good to know. Well, congratulations. Everyone, I'm having this heartfelt conversation with Bridget Jackson Buckley, the author of The Gift of Crisis. And we've spoken so much about how she actually used meditation to go from financial failure into a life of purpose. We've been talking about a lot of things that have mattered a lot to me, especially. I asked her about the hurt of the heart, which was a big conversation for me in the last few months. And I just feel like right now we're at this awakening game. And there are a lot of things going on inside of us. And perhaps one of the biggest questions that we have at this time is about the vision and the visualization aspect. You know, Bridget, that there is a difference between the two. And does role play a faith in the process of us maintaining or having a vision of ourselves or visualizing?
Absolutely. Faith is imperative. I mean, in times like this, it is really important to hold the vision for the unseen, because I absolutely agree with you that we are at a time of awakening. We are awakening into a higher consciousness, a heart consciousness, a God consciousness. And I do believe that so many of us can feel this. We feel like something is emerging, something is happening. We are witnessing the great unraveling, if you will, of so many of our social systems and even on an individual level in our lives. I see it in my family, with my family and friends, and even the massive amounts of change that have occurred in my life. But at the core of that, of the change, of the unraveling, I absolutely know that something wonderful, something higher is happening. It feels like we're moving closer to love. We don't know what the outer world will look like. We don't know what the circumstances, we don't know where we'll all land, what will happen with our professional collaborative endeavors. But we all do know, we can feel that there is movement happening. So with that feeling in my body and in my heart, I do make a conscious effort to really to just sit in that and give gratitude that I am here, even though sometimes it does feel very heavy and difficult, but that I am here and I can contribute in such a loving and heartfelt way to this mass movement, to this awakening in only the way that I can, just as you are doing it in only the way Sister Jenna can. So faith is imperative in that, that we all feel within our body that we can truly have a world that we are all honored in, that we all feel loved and embraced and included within, because that, I believe, is how things come about, holding the space,
you know, Bridget,
and holding the vision for the unseen.
Don't you find it quite intriguing where, I mean, everything that you've said is absolutely perfect and beautiful. And have you ever found yourself struggling to really believe it? Because, or is it that we just have to keep watering the seeds that we're planting until we live or emerge in that natural belief system?
Absolutely. I mean, you are definitely preaching to the choir today, because, yes, there was a time when, you know, I would always be on that edge of, well, I've witnessed grace, you know, unfolding in my life so many other times, but this is going to be the one time it doesn't. This is going to be the time that the bottom falls out. Like, I hovered there for so long where I was afraid to actually have faith, to, I mean, just to be afraid that there, that the universe truly is conspiring in my favor, in our favor. So yes, there was a time when it was difficult for me to believe that. And one of the hardest movements that I've done throughout this crisis and in my life is to go of fear, to let it go. And it wasn't a one-time event. It was rooted in my daily choices. When I paid attention, when I made a choice, am I making this choice out of fear? Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I just need to be tight and afraid because I don't know what the outcome is. Or am I going to take more steps to act in faith, to walk in courage, to really, really know that I'm not alone. I've seen so many examples of this. And so am I going to make the conscious choice to really be in that? So there was a time when I had to re-choose and re-choose and re-choose the watering the seeds, as you said. But then as you continually do that, it becomes a way of life. And I'm not saying that once you get to a point that you just have this equilibrium, like everything is just cool and there are no issues.
Right.
That's not true, because we're still alive in the world. But I don't have to put forth as much effort to re-choose this. I can quickly come back to it. And even when I may have my moments of doubt, even now, I still come to a place of gratitude, because I have truly been blessed, and as we all have been. So that keeps me with faith.
You know, on Christmas Day, a friend of ours brought over his companion, and she's a retired undercover police officer. And I asked her, you know, if she had retired from it or whatever. She said, basically, I had to resign. And I said, well, why did you resign? And she said, well, it had gotten to a point where I was no longer able to decipher if what I was doing was right or not. And I thought it was just so powerful, because, I mean, her conscience definitely spoke for her to resign from the profession. But for many of us, sometimes we struggle if even the affirmations I'm giving myself, if it's even all for the right reasons. Am I really genuinely, you know, truthfully wanting to be this very peaceful and pure-hearted person when I feel fired up and I get angry and let you know my ego is bigger than yours, you know? And so I feel that our ability to dig deeper into our faith, into our stillness, into the purity of the soul is such a go-to place very regularly, that I feel that's how we're actually watering our seeds, which is the times, I think, that's the crisis we're in.
Absolutely. I agree with that. It's so important this year has felt very difficult for me and lots of people. And the litmus test that, you know, we're doing something right, or it is not that we don't have problems in our life, that we don't have challenges. But for me, my litmus test is, can I sleep well at night? Can I look at myself directly in my eyes in the mirror and feel comfortable, feel love and satisfied with the person that I'm looking at? And if I can do that, then I do know that my daily actions with my family, with my professional collaborators, friends, are in integrity, that I am doing things that are okay because they sit well within me. And that's why it's so important, as you mentioned, to maybe have a moment of retreat, to go within daily, because you really want to keep yourself very clear on why you're doing the things that you're doing.
Yes.
Who are your actions for? Is fear responding or reacting on your behalf, or is it love that is speaking for you? And for so long, fear was speaking for me, but I'm no longer letting fear dominate and be in the forefront of my life. But it does take time daily for me to come in and just to be with that loving presence, to connect with it daily.
I can say that for me, especially my 20s and 30s, I wasn't enough. And it was so weird, because it wasn't that I wasn't enough for someone else. I wasn't enough for me. Because I seemed like I was always more than enough for others, but I still wasn't contented within my being. And it's a wonderful journey. And, you know, may the crisis continue, but may we definitely get closer to God and to love. I can tell you that, because it'll be a waste of time if we move further away from God with all of this stuff
that's going on.
You know?
It really is a call to go closer. I mean, I know change can be, maybe for some people it's pretty easy. And, you know, I do have my days, honestly, where I'm like, okay, I don't want any more lessons. I don't want any more. But then on the other side, I think of the time where I was so stagnant, you know.
Yeah.
So challenge can, it really can move you closer to the presence.
It sure can. So now leave us with the message that you would like your readers of your book to take away.
So the message that I would like for the readers but what sticks out right now is to truly just be with your hearts, because when we are with our heart, we act more from a place of all encompassing higher needs and wants for humanity. It's not just about moving forward a handful of people or a certain group of people, but we take actions that are rooted in intentions and integrity to really move the entire group forward with us. Mm-hmm. It's not just about us individually. It's about all of us in this world, on this planet, and what we are doing to be extensions of God in service to each other by being authentically who we are meant to be. We are meant to express those highest qualities of compassion, non-judgment, you know, loving and kindness. And we can absolutely do that if we are with our heart and not act from a place of being so guarded and, you know, protecting of ourselves.
What I might say is like godless. I mean, God's inside of everyone, but to what extent is the percentage of him or God's energy in us, you know? Stop acting so godless. Mm-hmm. I just keep saying that. I don't know why. It's just, can you just be godful, you know? It's just don't do anything more godless. Anyway, I can go on and on. Are you coming to Washington, D.C.? I want to do a book signing with you. I just love your energy. So if you're ever in the nation's capital, let's host you at the Meditation Museum and have a wonderful continuation of our discussion.
Thank you. I would love that. Thank you.
Leave us with a website where our listeners can get more information on your work.
Okay, so you can find more information on bjbuckley.com. I have, of course, information about the book. And then also under the spirituality tab, I continue to do the meditative guidance as outlined in the book. I just post a Sunday meditative guidance that has come through during my meditative state to keep the messages coming.
Wonderful. Well, look, you too, you be well. Enjoy 2019. And I guess I'll see you at the museum one day.
Thank you, Sister Jenna. Thank you. A wonderful
day. Take good care,
my
dear. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, everyone. That was the amazing Bridget Jackson Buckley, the author of The Gift of Crisis. I hope you took away a lot from that conversation, because I did. And despite whatever it is that we have to go through, just know, however deep or intense the lesson is, it's pushing us forward. So let's just move with the forward movement and stop trying to struggle and fight with just what is. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we really are here to love each other the same. So let's do a little bit more love, because there really is only love. Shine so bright that the people around you are just going to have to shine just as bright too. Here's Sweet Honey in the Rock testimony. Take care.
And warlike and strong like only some show. And there are sad like and mad like. And had like we know, but by my light be I spirit, and by my heart be I woman, and by my eyes be I open, and by
slowly brings the least shock, but no matter how slow that I walk, there are traces, empty spaces, and doors of locks, but by my life be I spirit, and by my heart be I and by my eyes be I open, and by my hands be I hold.
You young ones, you're the next ones, and I hope you choose it well. Though you try hard, you may fall prey to the jaded jewel, but by
your life be
I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes, 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.